We want the dynamite from the post-wrestling site. AEW, lighting up the fuse. Sit back and enjoy the bubbly. As we hear from John and Waitay. Where we're going, we don't need roads. And if the buck stops here, this thing might blow. Everything you hear are opinions of the show. And if you don't like it, go to the forums and let them know.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Rewind a Dynamite, a very special edition of the show. I am John Pollock, and I am flying on my own this month as Wei Ting is off making babies and keeping us updated. So filling in tonight, joining me, a staple here at Post Wrestling, I'm talking about the Up Next crew of Braden Harrington, representing your throwback Toronto Blue Jays, and Davey Portman, who looks ready for Quake by the Lake next week. Hello, yeah. Davey.
Hello.
Hello, hello, hello.
Wow. Look at this. It's BD Elite and Rewind a Dynamite.
It is.
It's wild.
Have you formed a name yet?
I don't know. It's not going to be as good as Quake by the Lake, I'll tell you that.
Yes. I mean, Rewind a BD Elite is the easiest, I guess.
I guess so. We forgot
really
to
roll off the tongue.
We didn't wear our sunglasses indoors or at night, but out of respect for the show.
Well, I do believe Wei Ting was texting me stating, you know, this Rewind a Dynamite show, it's all about talent, chemistry, and loyalty. And I don't know if me joining up with you guys for a trio's Rewind a Dynamite is going to sit well with one Wei Ting, if he might take up my knee or something when I'm not looking. But here we are, folks, the start of a very, very busy month. But how are you guys? I haven't spoken to you two either. Actually, Braden, I hung out with you a couple of weeks ago. We met up for coffee.
Yeah, you got me a Biebs brew.
That's right. You had to explain to me what exactly I was ordering because I've never gotten one of these.
The trick is Biebs brew with extra shot of espresso in it. That's the trick. Same with ice caps.
Extra shot of espresso is always good.
Yeah. We had a nice cafe rendezvous. Yeah, that's right.
That's right.
And I saw you at yours a few weeks ago.
That's right. That's right. You were over here. Yeah. You were over here for a little get together. Braden was unavailable. So I have hung out with you two individually, but not collectively. So this will be fun.
I don't think we've done an AEW show, the three of us, have we?
No, we have not. Because usually it is it's either like me away or just nothing. So yeah, it was you two were my first call to come do Dynamite. So I'm looking forward to this. Yeah, how do you guys find this? To me, there's no show that I finish and it's just a mad dash of a scramble before we go live right afterwards. I mean, this is my most intense night of the week, is taking notes for Dynamite and then doing the show 5 minutes after.
Yeah, it's definitely I think both of us have started trying to chill on the notes with this show because it's so relentless, the whole thing. And sometimes you look down to type one thing and you've missed something else. It moves that quickly. So I know we're kind of moving away from like detailed notes, because it is hard, this show especially. Like WWE, just their whole pacing, you've got so many replays and commercials and that kind of thing, it's so easy to kind of keep up. But Dynamite, it's as soon as the show starts, and it's same having gone to a couple recently, it's the same there. You go to a WWE event, you can kind of walk around, check out the merch, go and get another drink. As soon as Dynamite started, you're not leaving your seat because it's just nonstop.
Yeah, the pacing of AEW is crazy. I mean, Excalibur was naming, 10 matches in the span of 10 seconds earlier today?
This was on the high end of Excalibur plugs, as he had with Battle of the Belts. I mean, he knew when he got to TV, he's like, God damn, we've got a card to push on Saturday on top of it, and we've got Quake by the Lake next week. So, my goodness, the man. Thankfully, he had that that Claudio Takeshita video package to catch his breath and maybe get a sip of water in between plugs. But yeah, it was quite a lot that they had to get into. So we will get into all things Dynamite. But off the top here, just want to let everybody know of what is going on our end. And then I'll give you guys the floor as well to plug what you guys have coming up. But our G1 podcasts are going to be continuing on Friday. Bruce Lord is going to be joining me as we continue to go through now the second half of the G1. And then Sunday night, WH Park will be joining me to review not one, but two G1 events that he is going to sit through with the two cards from Osaka. And we've got Will Ospreay and Shingo Takagi this weekend as part of the G1. one, so a very highly anticipated one. Friday night, Kate from Montreal will be with me for Rewind to SmackDown, and I'll also be doing a bonus show for patrons Saturday night going through Battle of the Belts 3, which we now have a lineup for. But for you guys, I know you're always very busy. You've been dropping reviews of late of Goodfellas. Lots of stuff dropping on the Up Next feed. But what do you guys have on the go?
I mean, yeah, if you want to know the true story of Stacks and Two Dimes, you got to listen to us talk Goodfellas with John Cena, a true-blooded Italian. We chat all about the classic. There's a lot of guys in that movie that recently died. There's clearly a hit out on mob movie guys in the late, so we thought it would be a good time to revisit that. But that was last week.
Yeah.
We have a whole schedule coming out now.
So for those of you that might not know us, we're Up Next. We do the NXT show every Tuesday, and we cover AEW on BD Elite every Wednesday. And then we like to talk movies and TV shows and that kind of thing. So on our Patreon, we have a show called Up Yours, where our top subscribers get to pick something for us to review, and it can be anything. So we did do Goodfellas last week. We just recorded a show today with Rob McDonald, who I see lurking in the chat right now, of Man of Steel, that kind of added to our whole Batman reviews we were doing. And coming up later this month, we're going to have our man Neil Flanagan, who I'm sure you're all familiar with, for A Few Good Men.
Yeah, a strange pick for a wrestling podcast, mm-hmm. but we're about it.
I just watched that last, it was like a month or two ago. It was on TV, and I ended up just watching the whole thing because I'd never seen A Few Good Men. So it's still in my immediate recall.
Well, we hope for your feedback.
Yeah, John. You can't handle the truth, John.
And then kind of to round up this month for movies, we've got Rumble in the Bronx.
Jackie Chan.
But we had such a successful Shark Week last week.
Yeah.
We wanted to kind of keep on that wave.
We celebrate the whole animal kingdom.
Absolutely. And this month, August 19th, is National Orangutan Day.
Duh.
So we thought Obviously. It was the perfect time for us to talk about Dunstan Checks In.
A classic 1996 orangutan in a hotel featuring Jason Alexander from Seinfeld. I mean, what more could you ask, really?
Yeah.
So we're all over the place with the movie reviews there. But maybe that's not your bag. We also do wrestling.
Yeah, if you like wrestling, we can kind of talk about that too.
Nah. We do the retro NXT reviews as well. What's next? We go back. Right now we're in 2013, so really the start of the real fun era of NXT.
Sami Zayn is challenging Bo Dallas for the NXT title where we're at right
Sasha
now.
Sasha Banks just became the boss as well. The Cesaro-Sami feud is awesome. And then also this month, a best match ever, Rey Mysterio. We're celebrating the 20 years of Rey in the WWE. We're going to look and rate, dissect, review all the top Rey Mysterio matches and a little bit of a playlist podcast there that we like to do. So we do a lot of stuff.
And then to tie in with NXT Heatwave, we're going to be looking at ECW Heatwave from back in the day.
1998. Mm. Yeah, good one. So we do a lot of podcasts.
We're not doing the G1 this year, John.
Yeah,
like we tried. It's not really working for us. So we want to watch orangutan movies and Rey Mysterio.
Yeah, how's Master Watto doing?
Well, he's not in the G1, Braden, so thanks for keeping up on all of our shows and supporting us. So if you want, you can go take out a personal loan and then go to patreon.com/upnext and postwrestlingcafe.com. Sign yourselves up, and everything from the G1 to orangutans will be covered on a monthly basis. You will have the best stories when you get together with random friends and say, hey, do you remember A Few Good Men? Because it's a bit overrated.
Wow. We're A Few Good Men here right now.
Yeah.
There you go. All right. That plug was great because it gave me time to go post the feedback thread up in the forum, which I had forgotten. So we will be going to Super Chats later, as well as the forum for your feedback on tonight's Dynamite. But we do have a couple of news items before we get into the AEW review. And today, AEW dropping a press release that not only are they working with Yuke's, but also THQ Nordic, which is kind of the remnants of what was THQ, but kind of removed from it. They are working together to release this much-anticipated video game. We got a teaser of it, and then I guess this trailer also got out, whether it was supposed to or not. Have you guys had a chance to look at any of this, and sort of what's your interest level? Because you guys keep up with like the WWE franchise, so I'm relying on you guys for what your interest level is in this video game of what you've seen.
Yeah, I mean, we play 2K. We skipped the one before but the latest one was pretty good. We love downloading the created superstars of AEW superstars anyways and play.
We pretty much turned our game into an AEW game.
Yeah, we've changed all that stuff because we download all the games. But this one is interesting because I don't know if it's a hot take, but I think Here Comes the Pain is the best wrestling game. I'm sorry. I think it's better than No Mercy. You can double stack tables and shit. But the same people that worked on that game are making this game. And then the footage comes out and this trailer comes out and they're showing us mini games and, hey, intergender matches and an exploding barbed wire death match in it. But I'm not sure if it's looking like Here Comes the Pain with Here Comes the Pain graphics, but it's looking like that TNA game.
Yeah, I mean, I think either way, we're getting the game, probably.
Yeah, like, you're getting my money. It's on the Switch and it's on PC as well as all the other platforms. Yeah. So, I mean, everyone who's got any sort of gaming thing that is into that can easily get it. I recently got a Switch. I think that'll be it. I'll pick it up for the Switch. Why not?
It's going to be things like the career mode and stuff like that. See how interesting the story is. Because when I think back to both No Mercy and Here Comes the Pain, they had like pretty strong career modes. From what we've seen of the actual gameplay, I agree. It doesn't look like anything kind of updated from what we've been used to in the last 15 years with these games. Like, I think the graphics on wrestling games are still way, way behind anything else. Like, if you're looking at your other sports games, NBA. Your FIFAs, your NBAs, your Maddens, all that, it's in a different league. And that kind of is what hit me. And the mini games do look rather cheesy. Like, it depends how they're incorporated. Like, I just want to button bash and play. And so I don't know what that's all about, but
Britt Baker did mention that in the spot that, look, I learned all of this so fast and I didn't even have to do all these button combinations.
I mean,
it was a very, very, very subtle, natural description of how easy this game is to play. Do either one of you feel that with where pro wrestling is today, obviously you want to replicate like the modern style as much as possible that lends itself to video games, but is it almost so far ahead for some of these engines to be able to replicate what you see in the ring? Or do you think that's not really an issue at all?
I don't have so much of a problem with the controls of the previous games. Like, I feel I pick them up. I can do cool moves pretty quickly. It is the story mode and that kind of thing for me. And just the graphics, it still does look like PS2, PS3 graphics some of the time. When 2K20 came out, some of the things they showed compared to these older systems look worse. And that's a big thing where I think if it really wants to kind of be a proper deal, it needs to keep up with the rest of the industry.
I feel like they were jumping the gun. I know obviously people wanted an AEW game right away. And this company's been around 3 years. And I feel like you probably could have took time to work on it for like some of the newer systems. But again, this is just from all like video clips of it and stuff, but they're still getting our money. We're still going to try it out and hopefully play online. They said up to like 30 people in one match or something crazy for That's like online cool. stuff. So, hey, I'm still like going to give it a chance, obviously because Cody is still in it.
Oh, is he?
apparently they said he's already made and everything. Okay. So they're like, do we keep him in or not? But yeah, I still think it'll be fun. But people wanted a wrestling game, and then they show clips of like an AEW Mario Party mini games, and it's like, okay, it could be fun, but at the same time,
what I want to know is the exploding barbed wire death match, is it accurate?
Yeah,
is it AEW Revolution accurate?
It's like, just I blow want, up your screen.
I want the booze. I want the little puffs of smoke coming
sparklers.
Out.
Yeah.
You get to go into the options at the beginning. Realism on or off.
No matter who you're playing with, Eddie Kingston runs in and dies regardless.
Just saving the day. That's exactly how they should do it. Yeah. What other AEW gimmick matches should they put in there? Like, they have
blood and guts.
I guess that's too crazy to put in now. Yeah, dumpster match after tonight.
Dumpster match would be good.
Coffin match, shark cage, barbed wire, everything match.
Mm-hmm.
There's not a shortage of them.
Yeah.
No. no, it's obviously, I think there's going to be a lot of promotion around this game. And as we've seen, like this is something to me that can expose you to a whole different fan base that might not follow your product. Like, we have seen the success that, you know, the WCW NWO games had, and with all the various WWE games. I mean, this is to me how you tap into a different audience that isn't watching. So it's, and they've invested a ton into this. So I think it's going to be a major, major project for AEW. And I think it's critical that this is received well. So we will rely on you folks for reaction whenever this game comes out. They have not put out a release date yet. Raw on Monday night did 2,230,000 viewers. So this was the most watched Raw since the very first week of the pandemic, which was the empty arena Raw with Steve Austin shouting at nobody in the performance center and doing a 0.61 in the demo. So their second highest of the year. Obviously, the first hour was helped a lot by being commercial free. It ended up being the most watched hour of any hour of Raw since February of 2020. So I think, Davey, this had a lot of factors going for it, not just the commercial free hour, but I think SummerSlam was pretty well received by people. And overall, it's the curiosity over what is this program going to look like. And it's certainly week one of a full Raw, kind of under Paul Levesque's vision, was a big success numbers-wise.
Yeah, I mean, I'd say it worked for me. I was one of those people. I watched Raw this Monday all the way through, and I can't say I normally do that. I'm normally watching some stuff we've got to record, or I might have it on in the background or cooking or whatever, but I watched the whole thing. And you do notice the improvements. Obviously, kind of the focus on Ciampa on this week is a big one of them, and the buzz off of a really well-received SummerSlam.
I'll tell you why all these people watched, just like me. Io Sky. She's finally on the main roster. It's a wrestler that I like follow and love so much that I will watch the product that I don't watch, because she's a character I think they've been just keeping ready. And if this whole Triple H whatever is it going to work? Cool. But the Io Shirai changed to Io Sky. It's okay. Io Sky gets me high too. But I'm interested to see where they go with this. I haven't watched any of this stuff. I watched the PLEs, as the kids call it now. And I feel like they've been putting on some pretty good shows. So, like, if this is a start in the right direction, is seeing where they can go, then, yeah, I'll start to watch Raw.
Will the next 2K game feature a tractor option?
Yeah, that would be pretty cool.
I was into that. I was sports entertained by the tractor. Yeah, hope so. Cowboy Brock on a tractor.
Logan Paul's in the new game, right?
He is, yeah.
Yeah, okay, sweet. I'm going to make him
WWE champ. He's a downloadable, I think.
Yeah, I'll make him WWE champ, because in like the next year or two, he probably will be WWE champ.
It was also good news for NXT 2.0, which did their highest viewership in since June the 7th with 649,000 viewers, a 0.15 in the demo. So they finished all the way up at 7th among cable originals. Very good showing for NXT. Their 18 to 34 audience, though, was down 25% this week. But overall, I would still view this as a positive for NXT 2.0. And do you guys sense, like Braden, that this is just a carryover of all the changes at WWE, and NXT benefited from that too, because they also experimented with the commercial-free aspect for the first half hour of NXT for the women's tag title match?
Yeah, they used that time pretty good. They made like pretty much the whole first hour just a lot of wrestling and a lot of things on TV. So I did think that was a cool like take. And if it's kind of dragging on from what's happening with changes and stuff, we noticed there was a bigger focus on the wrestling. NXT 2.0 hasn't been my cup of tea since this whole change, but I will give them the credit in the last little while, in the last few weeks leading up to some specials. There are bits and pieces, like if you cherry pick different things, there's some matches that like are just cracking. But like a lot of the time, there's all these other segments with silly gimmicks and mathletes and lucha guys and all this stuff. But if you watch the whole show, I still think it should go back to 1 hour, because lately it's just feels like they throw, I don't know how many segments in one show, but
it's a lot, man. Yeah, it's a long 2 hours.
It's too much, because like there's so much that they throw at you during these times, and it's trying to get people over and new characters a lot of the time. And it can work, I think, in a condensed form. But with the announcements and changes and Triple H and all this stuff, like, yeah, maybe we will be seeing this focus be good for this thing. Maybe this 2.0 paint, like we had to get through that like grittiness and get through to maybe where it can be pretty good. The talent coming through right now, like we do the show every week, but like the Creed brothers, both guys, future tag champs. We say Julius, future huge WWE star. Carmelo Hayes, he's awesome. Tiffany Stratton, like some of the class they have right now, I could see going pretty far and becoming pretty big deals in wrestling.
Absolutely. And I think I definitely feel some of that rating has to do with the kind of new regime, especially with Triple H being so like connected with NXT over the years.
Yeah.
But I think if there were people tuning in for the first time in a while, maybe it wasn't a bad show last night, and you could, they, kind of dialed down. You still had the Schism and the Superhero
Joe. Did you notice that they're back to the Dyad this week? They were identified as the Dyad on on the graphic.
I think the three of them are the Schism.
Yeah, get the net, Dyad. John.
It's like you've got House of Black and then you've got Kings
of the
Black
it's the
Throne.
It's the different names for the tiers.
So they have a name as a trio and a name as a tandem, as the tag team.
Yeah, and they all dress like they work as servers at different restaurants at the same time. But Creepy Joe Gacy.
Creepy Joe Gacy.
Who likes pineapple on his pizza. Did you hear that line?
Someone yelled that at him, and now he has tweeted and saying he absolutely does not. And that's just another reason for me to think Joe Gacy is trash right now. So I'm not taking – don't at me. But look, if you don't like fruit on your pizza, then why are you putting tomato sauce on it? It's also a fruit.
I'm Team Brayden on that argument.
Wow. Dirty Hawaiian, John.
Dirty Hawaiian's the way to go.
The pineapple, the ham or the bacon or whatever, and then the –
Jalapenos
to give it the spiciness as well. Boom.
Final thing I wanted to ask you guys with, a lot of AEW stuff coming up, both with their Canadian debut and I know you guys are planning to go in September. What are your travel plans when it comes to AEW shows in the next couple of months?
So, I mean, yeah, there's some crazy. Crazy. Davey just messaged me told me the other day, I got second row for Buffalo. So
you're going to Buffalo?
I guess we're going to Buffalo.
We should have coordinated this because we're going too.
Nice.
Okay, well, hey, wave to us in the second row.
Yeah. Are you going too, Britton?
I'm going to Buffalo. I'm opting out of Grand Slam.
Gotcha.
They're coming here, so, you know.
I'm doing Grand Slam as well, and then we're going to try our best for tickets in Toronto.
Yeah, I mean, this is a great time to let any Toronto area listeners know. Like, if you're planning on going to AEW, we're planning on doing a poison party, baby. We're looking to have something going on. We have some fun ideas for both the Wednesday and Thursday down in Toronto. So make sure you follow us on the socials for any announcements in the near future. But, we're excited for AEW coming to Toronto, finally.
Oh, yeah. Two nights as well.
You can see us in the graphic.
You can.
You literally can see our building in the graphic. We're excited.
Well, there you go. All right. Well, keep it tuned to that for any plans about any ideas that we have for the Toronto shows. But tonight's show was in Columbus, Ohio. And on commentary tonight, it was Excalibur, Taz, and Tony Schiavone for the first hour of the show. And we kick things off with Orange Cassidy and Jay Lethal. And I'll let you take it away, Brayden. Orange Cassidy comes out to a very strong reaction, and he stops the Lethal injection early on, and then Lethal is crawling up the ramp as Satnam Singh walks out, and Lethal sends Orange Cassidy rolling down the ramp when the Best Friends walk out, and Trent is sitting on top of Chuck Taylor's shoulders with a big jacket around them so that they're towering over Satnam Singh, and this was... I found this to be very, very entertaining.
It's the Little Rascals.
Yes.
One ticket to a rated R movie, please.
Brayden offended a girl by telling her she looked like two children sat on each other's shoulders wearing a raincoat. So I laughed. I laughed big time.
She did not find that funny. Friend. No.
No.
I'm surprised. I thought that would be a winning line.
But no, I've been. They've been making me laugh recently. The Best Friends with this and the cheating with the chainsaw the other week. I laughed that
one. we're gonna cheat thing was funny, but this was definitely next level. Little Rascals.
So Jay Lethal then stomps on Orange Cassidy's ankle and hits a running drop kick with the ankle in between the steps. And through the break, Lethal is controlling it the whole way. He applies a figure four, and Cassidy gets to the rope break, turns into a Stun Dog Millionaire, and then counters the Lethal combination. And Orange Cassidy rolls out of the way of Lethal, who is on the top waiting for the elbow drop. And we see a deep impact DDT, then a satellite DDT by Orange Cassidy, and he sets up for the Orange Punch, but his leg gives out as he's going for the Orange Punch, and he just collapses. Lethal tries to grab him, and there's a counter into a beach break for a two count, goes for another Orange Punch, but his knee is clipped in midair by Lethal, who goes for another figure four, ducks an Orange Punch, and then one final kick to the knee sets up the Lethal injection, and Lethal pins Orange Cassidy in 12 minutes and 18 seconds. How did you like the opener, Davey?
Uh, It was fun. Orange is just getting the greatest reactions all the time at the moment. And yeah, I thought it was pretty good back and forth. I loved that kind of counter into the beach break. I thought was pretty cool. But yeah, quite a surprising outcome, I think. You've just had Jay Lethal kind of come off the Samoa Joe feud, and
he's getting the Ric Flair last match rub.
Yeah, I guess so. Like the Orange seems to be on a bit of a roll as well at the moment. So I was quite surprised to see Jay Lethal win here, and I think that's actually a pretty big win for him.
I guess they're going to move him into some other story, considering he's getting the big win. I'd say it's a pretty big upset over Orange for sure. And I feel like the crowd now are singing Jane more than they're singing Judas at these shows week by week, which is a great thing to hear. But yeah, I enjoyed this stuff. And I was shocked that Orange took the loss, but the Lethal injection looked pretty good.
I like the match a lot. Obviously, like they're setting up Lethal for Wardlow this weekend. I would be careful with like beating Cassidy as often as they have been of late, because to me, he is someone that has, you know, I think since the Ospreay match, like he is been perceived at an even higher level than prior, but has suffered a bunch of losses here. But I mean, the character also sort of is bulletproof in a certain sense on top of that. Dutt and Singh enter the ring, and this is where they bring up Wardlow's run-in on Rampage and warns Wardlow that he's going to break Orange Cassidy's leg. So the best friends run down, followed by Wardlow, and Dutt says that Lethal is not going to face Wardlow now. He just had a long, grueling match, so Dutt sets up the challenge for Battle of the Belts 3 on Sunday, and Wardlow, surprisingly, accepts this, and we will get Wardlow against Jay Lethal on Saturday. So there you have it. That's our setup. They had a recap of Ricky Starks losing to Hook, and then the big segment on the show, the Undisputed Elite are out to Adam Cole's music, and Cole explains that it feels great to be back with his friends. He is still not medically cleared, and while he was off, he had time to assess what works with the group and what they can work on. Citing himself multiple times as the leader of the group, they have chemistry in spades, talent, and loyalty. And Cole came to AEW because of the Young Bucks, and he traveled all over the world with Fish and O'Reilly, and brings up this trios tournament, and he would love for the Undisputed Elite to win this first tournament, but if he and Kyle O'Reilly are not cleared, and the Young Bucks are not going to pick Bobby Fish, then they just can't do the tournament. But then he composes himself and says, "I didn't word that correctly. You won't be physically capable of doing the tournament." As Kyle O'Reilly and Fish attack the Young Bucks, Cole joins in. They beat down Cutler. And then, in the ultimate cutaway of the year, they go to this poor child in the crowd that is bawling their eyes out at the implosion of the Undisputed Elite. This poor child, just in tears. And then Hangman Page makes the big save running down, and they clear the ring of O'Reilly, Fish, and Cole, and Hangman helps Matt to his feet before exiting as the long road back to Hangman Page and the Young Bucks friendship has taken another step here. But this was obviously the big segment on the show with the breakup of the Undisputed Elite.
The Undisputed Elite breakup, but the Hung Bucks reunite, so...
I mean, and Excalibur called him that as
well. Hung Bucks. The Hung Bucks. And I mean, those butterfly pants by Hangman.
It's because the monarch butterfly is dying out.
That's apparently. Right. He tweeted about it earlier. So, hey, you know.
Hangman always looks good.
Save those butterflies. But yeah, we could see the turn was coming. It kind of was written on the wall. The crowd were kind of torn because they still want to cheer for Cole and Red Dragon. But then you're supposed to now side with the Bucks in their like kind of baby face turn. But I thought it worked great, but that cut, that camera cut of that kid crying.
Oh, it's new Mizgo.
Oh, I've been sending it to random people just to do it. It's just so great. This poor kid. Apparently, the kid's fine now. The dad found out it was trending, so he took a selfie with his son and said, "Hey, we're having a good time now. He's all right. We're good."
This was not a child that was just looked sad. This kid was like angry, crying.
Yeah,
it was like it was intense. Just to see this kid, like I couldn't imagine like having this level of reaction. Like it really does tell you the impact that such a turn could have.
You love to see it.
I feel like,
of course, we could have gone right in the middle where he had just asked his dad for popcorn, and it's like, no, we're not getting popcorn. And this had nothing to do with the angle at all. He was just crying and throwing a fit.
I felt the kind of injuries maybe sort of took away from this moment a little bit, because it's felt a little start stop. But I'm glad they've done the turn. It's going to make this trios tournament way more interesting. And sure, it's another belt, but I think having a big feud attached to this this tournament, although it might kind of telegraph what the all out match is going to be, I think it kind of makes the titles feel a bit more important that a big story is attached to it. Right,
the trios. The
yeah.
Would it be the final? The final be the two teams?
You'd assume so.
Like, there's a whole bunch of trios, but that does make sense.
Providing like Cole and O'Reilly are all set to go, but you got to start this tournament pretty soon. Like, it's you got a month until the pay per view, so I would think this tournament has to start relatively quickly because there's no shortage of trios that you can put into this tournament. But this certainly does somewhat outline the direction that they're going, whether the finals or the first major program for the belts after.
It also potentially does the reverse of the initial tag pairing of Kenny and Hangman going against the Bucks, because now Kenny's going to come back and potentially Hangman and the Bucks are now champions and he's left on the outside.
It's okay because Roddy's going to leave Diamond Mine because he was having car trouble last night, they said, and he'll eventually join the Undisputed Elite. So then it's 4-on-4. There you go. Book it eventually.
Over the trios title.
Yeah. Sure. Yeah. Freebird rule, you know? I loved the guy in the crowd with the sign that said, Kyle O'Reilly still fears Von Wagner because he's just out
there.
There's
also a Come Tuesday sign as well. Glad to see people are starting to recognize the incredible wrestler that is Von Wagner.
Future book him as Logan Paul's man, heavy,
or his like long-term rival.
Yeah. Do it.
Yeah.
Or just have a conversation with the two of them for 10 minutes. That would be enlightening.
No. I don't want to see that.
John Moxley's in the back. He doesn't care who wins between Jericho or Yuta tonight, but that's not a stock answer. He really does not care. Because when the bell rings, I have no respect for anyone, no matter the day. I'm trying to hurt my opponent and paint the canvas with their blood. There's no days off for me, and that's why I'm the best at this. And when Blackpool Combat Club is done, they're going to make the Heart Dungeon look like a daycare. And they better be ready for next week, because this is my life, and it's not a game when they step in with me. So it was a great promo.
I love the dungeon daycare line. That was really good.
Mox is awesome. Yeah. And I love that he's like, hey, this is the sport. The sport is we beat someone up until they lose. And it's the thing I hate in wrestling is, they just want to have fun. I always think back to that Bailey Alexa feud where it's like a kendo stick on a pole match and Bailey just didn't want to use it because she's a hugger and doesn't hurt people. It's like, no, your job is to hurt someone, win the match. And
yeah.
Mox summed it up perfectly.
Mox doesn't care.
He don't care.
Honey Badger don't care.
Paint the canvas with their blood. Just go for death.
Imagine a daycare service in the old dungeon house though. That would be pretty cool.
It probably wouldn't be. Shivani is with Christian Cage in the back, and he's explaining how Jungle Boy was raised by terrible human beings, and then all of a sudden this speeding car drives into the arena, and Jungle Boy has to be withheld by security. Christian Cage says, I want him arrested. Completely justifiable, in my opinion. Like, Christian Cage, absolutely. Like, this is, in any court of law, this man would be charged immediately.
I mean, Christian said on TV last week he was going to murder him.
Yeah. Christian playing the ultimate twisted heel because right before the car, he's like, I can't believe Jungle Boy dragged my personal life into this. Like, how could he stoop so low? And then the car just swerved. It reminded me of the Rikishi hitting Stone Cold. But he almost murdered him on TV.
They've given Jungle Boy an edge, and it's definitely working this week and last week. And he needs to do more stuff like this every week. Just constantly trying to run over Christian.
If you're driving around town and you see some guy wearing an evil turtleneck like that, wouldn't you just want to?
No, that's illegal, Braden. You'd go to prison for that. You cannot have that thought in your head. Thunder Rosa and Toni Storm against Dr. Britt Baker and Jamie Hayter. They're double-teaming Hayter in the corner. They go through the break. Storm hit a tornado DDT to Baker on the floor and then a high cross on Hayter. And she then followed with an Alabama slam and landed Hayter. Like, this was the lightest Alabama slam you're going to see. Hayter then hits a double suplex onto Thunderstorm. Baker and Thunder Rosa, they were in this quite a bit together. There's a lariat and stomp delivered to Toni Storm, and Thunder Rosa makes the big save, which was pretty effective because there was a close-up of the cover, so you didn't see Thunder Rosa coming until she broke it up. And then from there, a Uranagi backbreaker by Storm onto Hayter. All four are down, and the crowd is really getting into the match by the last couple of minutes here. Baker and Hayter hold on to each other's wrists, but they lose their grip, and each are hit with released Germans by Thunderstorm. And then Tony just hits her hip attacks back and forth in the opposite corners, goes for one final hip attack, but she got greedy, and she hits Thunder Rosa by mistake, and Hayter capitalizes, hitting Thunder Rosa with hitting Tony with the clothesline, and with Tony distracted, she eats the cover in 12 minutes and 2 seconds, and this will set up Jamie Hayter getting a women's title shot against Thunder Rosa at Battle of the Belts.
Damn, the Hayter Maker.
Yeah.
Is what she hit. It looked like the Rainmaker, the spin and everything, like Obi-Wan in that show when he did it.
Yeah.
There was this crazy drop kick in this match. Who did that?
Thunder Rosa breaking up the pin.
Yeah, that was like,
yeah. This was when it was the close-up. Yeah, it came out of nowhere.
It looked like she knocked her in the back of the head.
I was worried. And then Hayter taking those hip attacks after.
Yeah.
There were some rough points.
I found it, first of all, it was interesting. This was in the first hour.
Not 9:30.
The usual 9:30 slot. And I don't know whether that's because Britt is considered a bit bigger of a star, her being earlier. And it's been a while since we've seen Britt wrestle, I feel. But for the last few weeks, I feel there's been this kind of pattern with the women's matches where before the commercial break, it's kind of not connecting and crowd are disengaged. And there's actually a bit of kind of rough moments like the Alabama Slam in this match. And then after the break, it really picks up and they really get the crowd on board, especially this match. And I felt that's been the case for the last few weeks with the women's division. I really like, by the end of this match, I got really into it. And I thought there was some really cool near falls and breakups at the end. I was a little worried for Jamie Hayter. It looked a little rough at times, but I actually really enjoyed this one by the end.
Yeah, I like all four of them. I feel like AEW keeps putting those women's slots in the same bunch at 9:30 or whenever they do it. So it felt like refreshing for them not to do that. Maybe that's a Madison Rayne change starting tonight, maybe, perhaps, with the news coming. But I mean, I thought, like you guys said, it really got pretty good towards the end. The last like 5 minutes was like nonstop. And I guess teasing already, we've been saying on our show week by week, like, is this Thunderstorm just put together for the fun name? Are they going to last just as long as Y2 AJ? Because here she's hitting Thunder with her own bum attack.
Yeah, it wasn't an immediate breakup, though. They were comforting each other at
we'll
the
see.
End. But yeah,
we'll see.
The forecast doesn't look good.
Oh.
What do you think of the T-shirt, John?
Thunderstorm?
The sandbagging.
I didn't even catch their shirt. Have they made sandbag shirts?
So Thunder Rosa was wearing a shirt that said like sandbagging.
Since 2014.
Yeah.
I think that's. It yeah. I guess. Yeah, sure. Like own it. And you know, people will buy that, I guess, ironically. I don't know.
Yeah.
It's
not going to start.
Bob
doing...
Holly will buy one, won't he? Yeah.
I feel they
that Alabama Slam. No.
I felt after that, the promo they did in the back about the sandbagging, I was like, okay, we're kind of beating this joke into, it just doesn't really fit in like the context of the show of like what it even means, but I guess they're having their fun with it. So why not? If you can make a few bucks off of the joke, have at it. Sammy Guevara and Ty Conti, they have a video here going back to their engagement announcement in June in France, and they are not here this week because they are off getting married. And boom, we just cut mid-video to Eddie Kingston asking, what are we doing here? This is a wrestling show. Nobody cares that they're getting married. And warns Guevara that he's got a receipt coming, and he has signed the contract that Tony Khan sent him and reminds him that money won't buy health. Trust me, and tell Sammy to sign the contract, and he will see him at the pay-per-view with Excalibur confirming that the match is set up for All Out.
Yeah, this feels a bit of a backstep for Eddie, I think. Like, Sammy Guevara is fantastic, but coming off of the Jericho feud, which it really still didn't feel finished to me, even after that barbed wire match, to go to Sammy, it just feels a bit of a step back, especially for the pay-per-view.
You're right, but I am actually interested in the match, and he said the pay-per-view, so that's all out. So I mean that's one of the big.
Just
that's
normally
the first
you feel that you work your way up to the final boss, which is the leader, and he's kind of faced the leader, and now is against. Like,
well, could you guys see that this is sort of his bridge is getting through All Out, and given that it's Eddie Kingston, the bigger show is the show in New York in September with Grand Slam. Last year he had the big lights out match, and maybe I would think between Dynamite or Rampage that week he has something really significant on one of those shows.
I could see him main eventing Grand Slam against Mox or someone
or Jericho potentially
again. Yeah, I guess. Well,
and Jericho he gets the big win. He gets the submission.
Yeah. But this match is clearly happening at All Out with Eddie Kingston and
yeah, this one. Yeah, this looks to be the pay per view.
And Tay Conti, Eddie Kingston should bring out Pam. Remember Pam?
Yeah.
Yeah. Pour one out.
Yeah.
You're a terrible
John
individual.
Doesn't like that one.
Hobbs is in the back. He is. They do the recap of Hobbs turning on Starks. And Taz explains he didn't know this was going to happen or that Hook would take the title shot. Taz has just lost complete control. So he's like, F it. This group's done. I wish them all the best, but we're done. No more Team Taz. So we have lost the Undisputed Elite and Team Taz all in one fell swoop. And you know what? I don't think American Top Team was looking too good after tonight either. So these factions, I think.
Or Thunderstorm.
Everyone's it's just like, listen, we've got too many groups going on. Everyone's going their separate ways. That's what I got from tonight. No one can get along.
I mean, we just said it, but pour one out for Team Taz.
What I did notice is the way he said it was like all of them pissed him off.
Yeah.
Like Ricky pissed him off by asking for the second match. Hook pissed him off for going for it without speaking, and then Hobbs turning. But he was like, I'm going to let them figure it out. So Team Taz is done. But I feel like he's always going to have that connection to each one, because he was like, I wish them all the best. But I can still see on commentary him kind of talking a bit more.
I could feel like he's going to, be in Hook's corner or something like along those lines. But yeah, I liked the breakup last week. Yeah. So I'm totally okay with this going forward.
It makes Team Taz doesn't need to keep going. It's kind of been quietly disbanded anyway with distancing Hook from the other two.
I was just waiting for cut to Brian Cage in the back.
Yeah, exactly.
I lost Tully. I've lost Taz. Does anyone want me?
Oh, bless.
He's got Prince Nana.
NXT 2.0. Oh, Prince Nana's back. Heard about that, yeah.
Powerhouse Hobbs comes out, and it's just a quick squash against Ren Jones. Just runs this dude into the corner, short arm clothesline, and he just drops him onto the mat, puts down a knee, and pins him in 53 seconds. So this is just a quick destruction to remind you of Powerhouse Hobbs and going into the most significant program of Hobbs' career with Ricky Starks, who ran down to attack Hobbs. Crowd went nuts for this run-in. Like, Ricky Starks feels like he has certainly elevated his status significantly at this point with the audience. And the ref gets shoved down, and Starks gets hit with a spinebuster to close the attack.
Yeah, that spinebuster looked great. Like, Starks came down with so much speed. I thought the post-match was really quite exciting. And I think this should keep happening. Starks just can't get the better of Hobbs because he's so much bigger. But
there's a few things here. Hobbs got new heel Hobbs music. It's still the powerhouse, but Ruckus did some changing to the beat there to make it, I guess, a bit more menacing.
Evil.
And I mean, John, you skipped over a pretty key important part. We all were wondering who's gonna get the Cody Vader.
Powerhouse Turns out,
Hobbs.
Oh, true.
Yeah, who had him in the pool? Powerhouse Hobbs to get the Cody Vader.
I wanted the team of Hobbs and Starks to call themselves Absolute Power, but I guess that's broken. Mm. Call this lift the Power Lift. Boom. Done. Easy peasy. I love Hobbs and this feud. This easily is a match at All Out.
I would hope so. Yeah. It's both their biggest match. I think both have been really impressive. I wanted to see them win the tag titles because I thought they would do something. But like this feud coming out of it, like this is their reward, I feel, for all the hard work.
I really like these
two, and I feel the crowd are getting behind these two as well.
It's working for both of them. Baby hot face Ricky Starks, who's just on fire right now, and then this evil Hobbs to be the base for him.
That whole angle last week with Starks, Hook, Danhausen, Hobbs, I thought was masterful.
But how
they elevated everyone in that. I'm really into this feud.
Do you think they hold this off until the pay-per-view?
Yeah,
I think so. I think you could put it on the pay-per-view.
I think so, too.
Miro is asking God who he can trust and asks if he is being sent a visitor to talk to him. Evil doesn't wear a mask, and everyone reveals themselves, and the Redeemer will as well. So we're just continuing Miro, who is trying to understand what exactly the House of Black is. He too is can't understand their promos, so he is trying to figure this out. It's not a clear message.
I think as soon as he's found the face paint and can join Sting and Darby, he'll figure everything out.
Yeah, that's got to be the match. Yeah, I assume. I guess that for some reason at All Out, I don't know, but he's challenging all three of them, so they're the House of Black, not the Kings of the Black Throne, right, John?
Exactly.
Yeah, like the Dyads.
We haven't seen Buddy for weeks. Is there anything going on with him?
Because he's been wrestling, so I don't think it's an injury or anything like that. But yeah, he has been absent. Darby Allin does a video. He went to Tony Khan, he says, and told him to sign Brody King. And that eats King alive, knowing that. And King needs everything from Darby, and he's trying to build his name off of me. And tells Brody, remember that you asked for this match, referring to the coffin match, and this hand is the last thing you will see. And on the hand, it reads, the coffin drops on Brody King. And that will take place next Wednesday at Quake by the Lake. And these Darby Allin coffin matches have usually been pretty insane spectacles. I imagine this will be no different between these two, who seem to have absolute complete trust in one another to do anything the other thinks of.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think this could be one of the best ones. I wasn't into the Andrade one too much, but yeah. I thought the Ethan Page one was pretty fun. I think I'm not completely sold with Brody King yet, but I think Darby is definitely his best opponent, just how well he can ragdoll him around.
I love it, and I'm totally for it. Coffins and matches, and both these guys are pretty great. It's funny how this feud started with him attacking Darby in a Zoomies. Dude was just trying to buy a hoodie or something. And then now Brody got a tattoo of Darby with a tombstone, like R.I.P. Darby. Yeah. So now Darby here in this promo is actually tattooing the palm of his hand, which would fade away pretty quickly just because the oil's on their hands. But if he actually did that, that would probably really hurt.
He probably did it. But yeah, you know,
yeah exactly. So I'm pretty excited. As soon as the graphic popped up for it, it's getting all spooky with the coffin match. But these two will kill each other next week.
Yeah, I think this is going to be great. You need a fairly large coffin here for Brody King. Mm-mm.
This is true. He's not going to fit into like the normal. He's pretty big. So
I feel they've been pretty big ones because he's done like the
coffin drop.
The drop onto it, hasn't he?
Yeah.
Jim Ross came out for the second hour, and then we traveled back to 2001 for Matt Hardy and Christian Cage, which featured a fan in the facing the hard cam with a sign that read, I played this match on No Mercy.
It's funny because he'll be playing it in AEW with the same graphics.
Well played. Cage is backpedaling, and then Matt unloads on him with strikes. At one point, Matt comes back with a superplex. Jim Ross doesn't understand the psychology of a superplex because it just hurts both of you. And the whole crowd is chanting, delete. The Twist of Fate gets blocked, and then Cage gets back body dropped off the turnbuckle. And from there, there's a diving headbutt by Cage, side effect to Cage onto the edge of the apron. And then Hardy gets the timekeeper's table, sets it up, and he goes for an elbow off the apron. Didn't work out today for Matt Hardy. He crashes through this table, and then Cage rolls him into the ring, kill switch in 11 minutes and 6 seconds. So Christian gets the win. And I've got to say, with Matt Hardy, like he looked in like good shape for like where he is right now in his career. But man, he gets around, and it's just like, man, you just watch. It's like I feel for this guy the day after one of these like big matches, because it just feels like it takes its toll on this guy.
Yeah,
and like, I feel they give him so many.
He's always on TV. I feel like because of the whole Christian like history thing, that was the reason, the purpose of this like little mini feud to kind of hold off for Christian to help elevate the feud he's currently in. So I get it, but it was what it needed to be, I guess. It didn't like overstay its welcome really, but Matt Hardy just loves purple. Remember when he was in WWE and he wore those like purple shirts, like Unlock Your Heart or something like that? That's what he was wearing. It was like
tight tank top.
Yeah, he's coming out to like the Hardy Boys music, and then it's like anything better than his solo music here. I don't like it, but I don't want to give the guy a hard time, but I'm here with you. It's like he looks rough after the match.
I'm pretty sure these two had a match around this time last year on Dynamite, but the roles reversed, Matt Hardy being the heel. And I remember thinking the same then, like, oh, that wasn't bad.
Yeah.
Like Christian is definitely still like pretty peak condition. Matt Hardy, it's to the latter end of his career, I guess. But I think these two, you can tell they know each other well. I didn't think the match was bad, but I don't really want to see Matt Hardy on TV much anymore.
Yeah.
Compared to like other people who are on this roster. But the match was fine.
Christian went for the chair and he's setting up for a concerto when Luchasaurus walks down the aisle, and this just froze Christian in his steps. And he walks down, but it's all a ploy as Jungle Boy enters through the crowd. So the police never got to Jungle Boy, and he chases Christian away. And Jungle Boy has his new shirt that reads, "Christian is a pussy."
Can't wait to buy it. I've been trying all
show. We need
show.
To go out. I have massive balls and Christian is a pussy and just hit the town.
Yeah, it'll be fine.
Yeah.
Yes.
People might take that shirt the wrong way. I had an old WWF shirt or WWE shirt. I still have it. And I remember wearing it in high school. And on the back, it says, "That's how I roll, Christian." So people would come up to me and pat me on the back and be like, "Praise the Lord." Christian is a pussy. It's just, it could be seen as offensive. But pretty funny from Jungle Boy.
I like how they pointed out on commentary, Jungle Boy actually had to buy a ticket to come and attack Christian because he wasn't allowed back in the arena.
They're not explaining
Still
how
not,
he got
not
away.
Not very good security if you eject someone.
Where and are they?
So he should have been arrested on multiple offenses on attempted murder, storming the ring here. I mean... this is the new Jungle Boy character. The law is only a suggestion for this man.
Jungle Man. Yeah. Jungle Man.
Shivani is with Daniel Garcia. He calls his win last week over Bryan Danielson the biggest in AEW history. He submitted the American Dragon. That makes him the Dragon Slayer, the greatest technical sports entertainer. He's got Danielson's number and tells him to rest up, come back, and I'll slay the dragon again. So nice quick promo from Daniel Garcia. And I mean, this makes it clear that they're going to go to the rematch when Danielson comes back.
Yes, please, All Out. I need to see this rematch. That last week, this match blew my mind, man. Garcia has clearly been this like pet project with, obviously he's not in the Blackpool Combat Club, but being on their offense is just, you might as well just be in the better position. It's working so well for him. And this needs to be the I was just in awe of that match. So please run it back at the pay-per-view, or hell, even Grand Slam. Any of the two work, but the pay-per-view works.
Buffalo. They should do it in Buffalo.
He's from Buffalo.
They should do it in Buffalo.
Yeah,
please do.
I like now he's got a sports entertainment name.
Dragon Slayer. He's got to face Shingo.
It works, yeah. Yeah, that should be his thing.
Yeah.
He needs some alliteration, though. He needs another D in front of it.
Danny the Dynamic Dragon Slayer.
Danny the Dragon Slayer. I don't know.
Perfect. There you have it. You know, last week they put such a big emphasis on giving Daniel Garcia that huge win over Danielson, Hook winning the title, and Ricky Starks as well. How did you feel about the follow up this week for all three of those? Like, did they I guess there was no real representation by Hook, but what did you think of just kind of following it up, making those segments and matches feel important this week?
I think they worked. I thought Stark seemed really hot with his run out against Hobbs. I think Jungle Boy as well, continuing that edge with trying to murder Christian in a car. And this, I think Garcia's proving himself. He's actually a pretty decent promo, I think.
I do too. Yeah, I think it works in, like, it's not like a conventional promo style, but I don't like one patterned way of like what a promo can be. I think he's really tapped into something, especially with this sports entertainment angle that just, it's uniquely his that it works.
I mean, you told me, like, I want to say almost probably like 5 years ago, however long this kid's been wrestling, John, you told me, hey, go to this show and see this guy wrestle at a Smash Wrestling show in Toronto. You're like, this guy is amazing. So I went and I was like, John, you were right. This guy's just killing it. And here he is. Now he's got the promo game down. This guy is going to have everything going forward. But I really love that match and I want that rematch so good. I think they did a good job of also getting over some of the other characters. I mean, Wheeler Yuta on today wasn't one of the main focuses last week, but here he is in the opposite roles reversed with him facing the leader of this. And the same could be said for the Acclaimed, actually, that we haven't gotten to yet. But I think it helps get some of the young guys over here.
It's definitely been a thing this week and last week. And it's funny because you look at what's going on in WWE, where it's suddenly, oh yeah, we've got Ciampa on the main roster. Let's use him. Mustafa Ali, let's give him a match. it's similar here, obviously the three last week, but Ethan Page coming up, what we're about to talk about, it felt like they were trying to give him that sort of almost Ricky Starks moment this week. Yeah. So it's definitely been, I guess, with the likes of Punk and Kenny being out, it's, I like that they've been trying to focus these guys who've actually been in the company for quite a while and haven't really had that attention.
They recap Dark from Tuesday with Pac making the latest defense of the All-Atlantic title, beating Connor Mills and teasing stuff down the road with Kip Sabian, who was shown in the crowd with the bag over his head. And then it's the... anything to add about Kip Sabian?
We first spotted this at Grand Slam last year. So
he was standing
about
outside.
A year.
Yeah.
It's a slow burn.
Box.
He was standing outside and no one stopped to hang out with him. But
And now the payoff is
Dark
on a little recorded thing from Rev Pro that they're showing on
Yeah.
Dark.
Look, John, I don't watch Dark, but every week I listen to Shot in the Dark with John Cena covering it all in 15 minutes or less.
Today was the 2-year anniversary.
2 years, 2 years of Shot in the Dark on the Up Next feed in 15 minutes.
Congratulations, Cena.
Yeah, shout out Cena. But yeah, it's cool that they're making this title the traveling title. But for the past few weeks, it's like, hey, Pax fought this guy you don't know. Hey, Pax fought like this guy. So it's, is he going to defend the title also here and TV and stuff? But it's cool that they're mixing it around.
I don't think it's needed. You've already got so many titles in AEW. I think it's good that this is a bit of an attraction thing that you can always do sort of what they did with, who was it that faced Thunder Rosa last week, where you can get a rematch perhaps on
TV. Yamashita.
Yeah. You could do something like that. If there's maybe a, not necessarily a loss, but like a draw or a DQ or something on one of the outside shows, if you wanted to bring someone in to have a look at them.
It's just someone in the chat saying it's already the second TNT title, but they're trying to make it different by doing this, so I'll give them that credit. Hmm.
Ethan Page is in the ring, and he asks why he isn't on television every week. He's got no action figure, and as he's ranting about his treatment, Stokely Hathaway walks down to the ring, but Page has his back turned. He says he deserves better, and he rails on the fans for not buying his shirts, but buying merchandise from Cassidy, Punk, and Eddie Kingston, and AEW is leaving money on the table by not putting him on TV every week. Hathaway gets into his face, asks him, "What are you doing?" and hands him his business card, and they end up leaving together, and that was that, and I don't know what this means for American Top Team, but I don't know. No loyalty here from Ethan Page for Scorpio Sky, it appeared.
Or Stokely, you know, the streets. Stokely's for the streets. He's wandering away from the baddie section, or is he bringing Ethan Page into the baddie section? He would fit with his shirts and
the Hamilton baddie. Yes.
Hey, Hamilton icon. You know, I'm sure he's excited for the Toronto shows because he'll definitely come on the thing and be like, "I'm not from Toronto. I'm from Hamilton."
He's going on about how no one buys his shirts. I literally message him
every week
because he always is wearing a very nice shirt, and I'm like, "Hey, where'd you get that shirt from?"
Yeah, well, that's not his shirt. That's
fair. I'm not buying his t-shirt, but his shirt should be like this. He should have Ethan Page nice button-up shirts.
Yeah,
think outside the box, Ethan.
Yeah, that would be a cool idea. Yeah.
I do feel for this story, like, I do think you have to tie it in. Of like, your natural question is like, what's happened to his whole group? Like, isn't that the natural question you would have here about like, what's happened to Scorpio Sky? What's happened to Dan Lambert? Like none of that was brought up here. It just seemed like he's just moving on with no explanation.
Good.
Yeah, you would feel like he'd say something about how this team hasn't been working for him or something. Mm. But I do find it odd because I think Ethan Page is a really good promo and really confident. It's weird that they keep on pairing him up with other mouthpieces.
Yeah.
I always found that odd with him with Lambert because Ethan can talk already. And moving him from that to Stokely, which I think is an improvement, but it's, I don't know if he needs it.
No, he's a great mouthpiece, and for him to, he's also a great wrestler. So I actually like that they're doing something completely different. I did not like the whole, him and American Top Team didn't really work out for me. He does have like the flamboyant shirts and the big attitude and the big persona when he wrestles. So maybe if they do something with Stokely, it would make a lot of sense. And he can do Hamilton proud. Speaking of Hamilton, my shoot job is I work at CHCH in Toronto. That is a Hamilton channel. Coming this fall, they're going to be airing Women of Wrestling on TV.
That's right. Yeah.
Look for that cheap plug for CHCH Hamilton. I know Ethan Page will be hyped about that.
Well, you can keep us updated.
Hell yeah.
Maybe Cena will he'll give you like 60 seconds each week.
I've asked my boss every single week since this announcement, like for the past 2 months, can you help me get AJ Lee? So I'm working on it.
Shivani's in the back with Matt Menard, Angelo Parker, and Anna Jay. They're the greatest faction in the world. And then Anna Jay cuts her crazy promo about choking out Ruby, and then she spots a staff member, and she just runs off camera and chokes him out. Jim Ross's reaction was awesome. He was just speechless on camera after watching this. My takeaway from this segment is that I think they're in an infinitely better position for their respective careers. But there is also a part of me that would have greatly enjoyed Matt Menard and Angelo Parker as Tony D'Angelo's heavies, which inevitably these two would have been. They would have been stacks and two dimes.
Oh, 100. Oh, 100%.
Yeah, they even wear the suspenders and chocolate.
That was my only thing that I don't know why. I just all of it clicked during this segment. But like that 100% would have been their roles if they were in the NXT 2.0.
Well, I was going to say I wanted the when Anna ran off, the camera to turn and she's choking out Dominic Mysterio.
Then I would have had my graphic for tonight. The Acclaimed and the Gun Club dumpster match, and the Acclaimed attack Billy on the ramp, and you think they're just going to go into the match, but no, Max is going to deliver his rap. He said he's going to make the Ass Boys retire like Vince McMahon, which this crowd lost their minds on, and he's more positive than Joe Biden's COVID test.
Oh, jeez. Yeah, no filter. We ain't Instagram. We'll make the Ass Boys retire like Vince McMahon. Damn.
Everyone's been waiting.
Yeah,
we've been waiting for it. Done one live since.
Have you seen their music video, Trash Day, to set up this? I give the Acclaimed all the props. They've definitely stepped up on just turning everything around. I'd say in the past like 6 months, everyone, they get the crazy reactions. They've been putting on great matches, and everything's just kind of working for them. They're one of my favorite acts right now.
Which one of these tag teams is more likely for you two to go for Halloween this year? Because I could see you picking either of these teams.
I mean, John, what you're asking is some very confidential information, because if anyone knows us, we know how to do really good wrestling Halloween costumes. We have a tag team in mind. However, it's neither of these teams.
Ooh, okay.
Although I don't know if you noticed, but the Ass Boys were dressed as Road Dogg and Billy from their dumpster match against Cactus Jack and Chainsaw Charlie. So I wouldn't mind doing the Ass Boys as the Outlaws.
Austin had the most ridiculous Halloween overalls I've ever seen somebody wearing.
Yeah, I want to buy those.
So the... you just have to get the two guys into the dumpster and shut the door. It's pretty self-explanatory. They get Bowens in, and then he's powerbombed into the dumpster off the apron. Caster is sent in, but they can't close the door, and they're hit with a cookie sheet. After the break, Bowens gets sent off the dumpster onto a pile of trash cans. They fight to the entrance area. Colt hits the Colt 45 onto Bowens, and Austin calls for a mic drop off the tunnel, really kind of divulging their strategy here for the Acclaim to prepare for this attack. So with that knowledge, Max Caster is able to sneak up from behind Austin on top of the tunnel and sending him off the tunnel into the dumpster. This was the safest fall you're ever going to see a man take off of a tunnel into a dumpster filled with styrofoam in it. I mean, he went with like the grace of a ballerina off of this tunnel.
Look at that.
Like, I'm not blowing out any knees or anything. I'm going in this thing like a kid into a giant bouncy castle.
Well, it wasn't a big area for him to land on, and the angle of jumping off this thing seemed a little awkward as well. And one of the lids was closed. Like,
he hit his target.
Yeah.
Ass Force One there. That was scary. But the spot right after, you could see the next spot was the more scary one for me.
The next one was Colton placed on the table and Max Caster just be like, God damn, this AEW injury curse better not strike me, as he leaps off the tunnel and hits the elbow drop, destroying the table with Colt on top of it. Looked to be everyone was fine, and they tossed them into the dumpster, shut the doors in 8:06, and then they've got to do the New Age Outlaws spot with Mick Foley and Terry Funk. But my God, they had a hell of a time trying to roll this dumpster across the stage. And it was like time stood still as they were trying to like line this thing up with the edge. Then they finally push it off and it goes down and flips over. And it's like everyone just cheers. It's like, like the one thing is, like, for whatever you want to say about that New Age Outlaws spot, like that is one that you can say now and it's 24 plus years later and everyone remembers that. You will not remember this next week, this dumpster spot.
Yeah, look, I thought the whole match and segment was a lot of fun. It did, again, it kind of served its purpose. It had a lot of callbacks to that other match. It was fine. But the you're right, like that old one. I mean, either Mick and Terry Funk didn't care about getting hurt, or they just didn't care to hurt them. But here it looked way safer. Like they had a crash pad underneath and everything. I mean, the thing completely did flip over on the guys.
It did flip over.
I mean, crash pad or not, That's you can't see where you're going. You don't know when it's coming. On. They're teasing you like it's...
Oh, there's a certain...
Trying to get
like,
this actual thing to the edge.
Yeah, you probably like them getting it stuck. They're like, what's going on?
When are we going?
I would just argue if you were going to do this, it should be like a massive stunt and it should be... And instead, it was almost like the same drama of like... If they threw their t-shirt out to the crowd, like it was just like this fun thing at the end that I don't think like this should be like a major injury angle or something. And instead I think it was just played for like laughs and stuff. And I'm sure people enjoyed it. Yeah. I just don't think it was like going to be a lasting thing. But then again, we just saw Sammy Guevara thrown off the top of a cage. And no one remembers that. Like, is anyone ever going to remember that Sammy Guevara spot, which was... Like, compare that to, like, the Mick Foley dive. Like, it was incredible what he did, but it's not going to have that lasting impact, and that was only a month ago.
I thought the elbow drop was really impressive because the angle he had to go at was not easy. Yeah. And you could see him looking and going,
fuck, you could read his lips. Yeah, he was like, what the fuck?
Because the table wasn't directly below.
No.
It's a tough, like, area to jump off of because, like, you don't have a flat surface, and it's difficult to like stick the landing on some of these that we've seen in the past as well.
I'm sure Road Dogg really loved this match.
Well, they had highlights of Ric Flair's last match, not Ric Flair's actual last match, but the event where Mance Warner won the Bunkhouse Battle Royal on the pre-show. And that sets up Jon Moxley against Mance Warner in an eliminator match this Friday on Rampage, along with the debut of Madison Rayne, who was just hired as a coach, and Swerve Strickland and Keith Lee defending the tag titles against Tony Nese and Josh Woods in a street fight. And this to me is, there's many weeks where, you know, you've had maybe a disappointing number and it doesn't feel like it's much like reactionary. This one felt reactionary to me to that terrible number they did on Friday, especially with Moxley wrestling and just coming up with a kind of a cold match, but a reason for it with Mance Warner winning over the weekend. But this certainly feels like a beefed up edition of Rampage, which is...
I 100% disagree.
Tony Nese is a draw.
This sounds...
How dare you, Davey?
You're doing a big street fight gimmick match. You're doing Mox... When was the last time Moxley wrestled on Rampage?
Josh Woods. I don't even Tony know Nese who Josh Woods is. Like, and Tony Nese?
Tony Nese equals ratings.
Madison Rayne in action and Mance Warner. Like,
I disagree as well.
If you don't think putting Jon Moxley on Rampage is of significance for Rampage, like look at Rampage's lineups. It was Ruby Soho against Anna Jay last week, and this is what they're coming back with. A street fight, Moxley.
To keep someone in on a Friday night against a guy that most of this audience I don't think would have heard of.
Yeah, it's beautiful.
I don't know. I think this looks pretty weak.
Also, what's going to do worse, that or Battle of the Belts? Like the next day. That's a lot of wrestling for a lot of people to sit in and watch both nights. I bet the rating for Rampage will be around the same thing.
Yeah.
It might not do better, but I don't think you can look at this as they are not trying on Rampage this week as compared to most weeks where, I mean, 2 weeks ago, your main event was Jay Lethal and Christopher Daniels. Like, that's the level we're talking about here.
Right.
Like, Christopher Daniels is better than Tony Nese, though.
Well, Battle of the Belts 3 will have Claudio and Takeshita for the ROH title, Wardlow against Jay Lethal for the TNT title, and Thunder Rosa against Jamie Hayter for the women's title.
That sounds all right.
I mean, the Ring of Honor title match
Ring
sounds
of Honor
awesome.
Match sounds great.
I do want to check that out. Yeah, for sure.
I noticed they also... didn't just say Ring of Honor champion, but they said Ring of Honor's Claudio Castagnoli. Kind of identify. It seemed like they were identifying him as more ROH.
Oh, interesting.
Which the story was his debut was meant to be ROH, right? Fair, and then with the Danielson injury, they brought him in. So I found that interesting.
WrestleTix noted that this interesting stat that since they announced the Claudio Takeshita match last Friday, they've moved like 1,900 tickets for this show on Friday, which is, I mean, that's the only thing you can, granted, maybe there's some people that, you know, the week of, it's wrestling is in town, we're going to get tickets, but it's the only thing that was really announced going into this week prior to tonight's TV. So, I mean, that does tell you there's some interest in this Claudio Takeshita match beyond just a hardcore fan that's looking at it as like this awesome match on paper. It looks like it did move tickets for this event. So that's a feather in their cap. And I think it's going to be an excellent match on Saturday. The question will be how many people check it out, because I think it's tough to get people to kind of watch a separate night on top of what they're already putting out every week. And these Battle of the Belt shows, I think they have not been established as these can't miss shows so far after two of them previously.
Yeah, I mean, I think Takeshita's proved himself from like for the Hangman match, the Mox match. He's someone that people know they're going to get a good match out of. And Claudio, what have we had? We've had Zach, we've had Hager,
Blood and Guts,
and Takeshita. So it's still the novelty of seeing Claudio on AEW, I think, is there, especially in singles. So yeah, I think people know this is gonna bang, and if you're in the area and you hear that match, that would definitely attract me.
That is the one match I am looking forward to from any of the weekend shows coming up.
If this does a healthy number on Saturday, like, it's all the credit to that match that is the standout here, and we would tell you that it's like it's that attractive of a match to people. And then Excalibur taking a deep breath, then previews Quake by the Lake next week in Minnesota with the coffin match between Darby and Brody King, the Lucha Brothers against Andrade and Rouge, Jade Cargill holding an open challenge for the TBS title, and then Jon Moxley against Chris Jericho.
that
sounds pretty good. I mean, the tag match, Lucha Bros, Andrade and Rouge, we've been waiting for that. Like, let's go. I think they'll put on a pretty sweet match. Everything looks good next week.
Yeah.
Why don't you rank the 10 matches that they plugged? Wheeler Yuta against Chris. It's just a lot. It's a lot of information to take in. As they go through like three shows in 7 nights, but there was a lot here to
we felt like just look up on Reddit after. We just enjoy listening to Excalibur yell for a minute, but it's in one ear out the other, and sometimes they announce something out of nowhere.
The game,
like, sorry, did they say
the game I like to play, obviously you always hear him just like yelling, and this one felt like a lot. I think you said it was 10 in one thing.
It was 10.
I feel for him, you know, working in any media experience, like when the graphic changes before he's not on that one and then it has to change back to it or like vice versa. Oh man, you feel for him there. That's when he starts to like choke a little
bit. Imagine if he had to do this in WWE where he has to do like the new vicious Viking Raiders against Seth, freaking like adding all the monikers to each person on top of just the card.
Yeah.
The other side to that coin though is that at least up until now, there wasn't a whole lot to promote a week from now because maybe we know one thing that could or could not happen next week. So the main event is Wheeler Yuta against Chris Jericho. Regal was on commentary, although for the first half, I was like, where is this guy? And then you heard his voice come in. Like, he was very quiet at points. Menard and Parker out with Jericho. So Claudio comes down to be in Yuta's corner. But after Parker grabs Yuta's leg, all of them get ejected, including Claudio. So they're gone. Yuta hits the rolling Germans with just a bunch of them here to Jericho, ending with a bridging German. And Jericho kicks out, but Yuta holds on. There's a roll-up counter into the walls of Jericho, but Yuta makes the rope. And then Jericho is arguing with Aubrey and gets sent to the floor and hit with three tope suicidas by Yuta. And we have Jericho take over. Lion Salt lands on the knees. And as Yuta comes off the top turnbuckle, he's met with a code breaker that leads to a near fall. And Yuta applies this new, it's kind of like the setup is like a Regal stretch, but it's this new version that Regal explains he's been teaching Yuta for 2 months. He's been working on this thing. Well, it didn't pay off on try number one.
I loved here how he applies it and JR just goes, oh, and Yuta with the submission there. And then Excalibur talks and you think, oh, Excalibur's going to point out.
Gonna call it, yeah.
Doesn't call it. Tony doesn't call it. And then Regal just goes, Well, I'm not going to sit here and call my own move, but that's my move.
Jericho then grabs the bat, and Aubrey takes it away, and this allows Jericho to kick him low. Ryuta recovers, goes for the seatbelt. Jericho escapes, and this time gets on the lion tamer and taps out Wheeler Yuta in 12 minutes and 32 seconds and won't release the hold, prompting Jon Moxley to come out, sending Jericho out of the ring. And Jericho ends the show stating that you've unleashed the demon and opened Pandora's box, because next week you will get the last survivor of Stu Hart's dungeon and the Lionheart, and I'm going to stretch the shit out of you and leave as champion.
Yeah, I'm kind of showing that using the Lion Tamer version.
Jericho loves coming out every week as a different version of Jericho. We have this idea of hosting a costume party, but everyone has to come as a different version of Chris Jericho. I think it would be a pretty big hit. I could be the wizard. It would be a great one. I like this match. It was kind of similar to last week with the, like I said, the leader and versus like one of the upcoming students of the groups. And Wheeler Yuta has been someone that's definitely stepped up, and the aggression is kind of coming out of him a little bit. I love him using the regal stretch, and I absolutely love that seatbelt move. I'm mad that Jericho got out of it, but it's okay. We've seen him use it to win in the past, but I think that move is awesome. Always wear your seatbelt. But the tease of the Lionheart next week and winning with the actual Lion Tamer is a nice little touch as well.
Yeah, I really enjoyed this. I think Jericho has had a pretty good year. Definitely his best work in AEW, I'd say, in ring has been this year. And I just love how Yuta's style was just throw everything at him. He was just going to keep on going at Jericho until he burns out here. With those topes and just throwing everything at him. I thought it was really entertaining. Yuta always impresses me. And I thought I really enjoyed the wrestling on this show this week. But Jericho especially, like when you think you kind of write him off as, oh, he's past it now, he then hangs with these kids. And yeah, I thought this was a really great match.
Yeah, I've been enjoying Jericho's run as of late. I mean, he's been looking great. So good for him.
And I thought that last week's main event kind of benefited this one, because I think you're going into this match and everyone's kind of assuming Jericho's winning, but I think they did a really great job that you've got this history of Moxley and Yuta, and you just saw Garcia submit Danielson last week. So it's kind of fresh in your mind, the idea that these top guys, every now and then they could lose, and there is a story there for Yuta to win and take on Moxley. So I think by the end, like, you can at least have a believability of Yuta winning on top of it. And they had a very nice match on top of it. So I thought this worked really well. And I like the fact that they chose Yuta to be in this role, and you had like a plausible reason for either guy to advance.
Yeah, no, I'm excited for that match. It wouldn't necessarily sound that exciting, but the way were smart in building it in the last few weeks, with last week when Jericho came out, we're kind of like, uh-oh, are they doing Jericho Mox at All Out? And it's like, no, it's just another like roadblock kind of thing. And I'm super okay with that. I suspect Mox retains and he goes on to find out who his actual opponent is at All
Is
Out.
There any chance Jericho wins this against Mox?
I don't think so. What would be the main event of All Out if Jericho wins this?
We'll put it this way. If you don't have, for whatever reason, if you don't have Punk ready by All Out, what is Moxley's match at All Out? And that becomes your question of, like, I don't believe you would see a title change next week. But again, when you don't know kind of the timetable of a Punk, like, no one is heated up for Moxley as sort of a backup opponent either.
Yeah, and that's kind of what I'm thinking with if Punk's not ready. I mean, Punk, if he's ready, you can do that, set that up in a week. You know, him, Mox, like, it's ready as soon as
it doesn't need much. It's no. Yeah.
But I wonder if you've got, like, perhaps Jericho takes it, rematch at All Out, and then you've got Eddie going for the title in Queens against Jericho in a feud that's already kind of set up, maybe. It all kind of depends if Punk's coming back, Kenny's coming back, like, all these other pieces.
Yeah. Do they shuffle in Kenny to face Mox? Do they shuffle? Is Punk going to come back in time? Like, Malakai Black could have been a challenger for, we were thinking FTR and Young Bucks could be a main event of the show. That seems to not really be the case at this time, but it does feel like a few moving pieces that Tony, I guess, is making sure his notepad isn't being shown online, because I'm sure they're trying to still figure it out. Maybe.
Yeah, those sideline reporters, they got to have that, that zoomed in lens.
They got to find those, it's
pay per view time.
I still really enjoyed this episode. I think AEW Dynamite is just always entertaining and enjoyable, even when it's not necessarily my favorite episode. But the wrestling tonight hit for me, as well as a lot of the development in leading to the pay per view without kind of, you know, hitting it over the head. Like, clearly Christian Jungle Boy is a match we're getting at the pay per view. He tried to hit him with a car. I like that. There needs to be more of that in my wrestling. That make me excited for this guy to get his hands on him. You know what I mean?
There needs to be more of that in wrestling.
Yeah, why not? You know,
more speeding cars and near death experiences.
Yeah, I miss that. I miss that in my wrestling. But I think the build so far, like, obviously they haven't really promoted a lot of matches that are on paper official, but if you kind of look between the lines, there is a few matches.
You can see the card forming a month out. Like, you can see the key programs. I'd say the thing I'm most interested in, and it was more heightened last week, but they followed up on it pretty well, is just sort of the elevation of, like, those middle level, like, players, like Jungle Boy and Wheeler Yuta and Garcia and Starks and Jungle Boy. And you can even throw, like, Cassidy in there as well. That, like, he's someone too that I feel like has reached, like, a different level over the last, like, month or two, at least since Forbidden Door. And that's kind of, to me, the most intriguing part of AEW, is sort of the next rung of your big stars, and watching the elevation process that they're in the middle of. And some will make it and some won't, but I think that's a captivating part of the show at the moment, is all of their different directions.
I like a lot of the stuff that they do on this show. This, always watching every Wednesday, I make it an immediate watch. We always watch it live. We're always super into all the different things that are going on. Even if you don't like one thing, there's a lot of different story progressions and stuff that they are doing right. I will say a gripe I have is how they kind of portray the women's division. Usually it's in 9:30. Tonight was a step ahead as well, because it wasn't. It was like earlier in the show, and they put on a pretty sweet match as well. So I feel like maybe this whole Madison Rain stuff is a good future for AEW.
She's already booked herself a
match. Yeah, she's already in a match.
Braden has bestowed all of this on Madison Rain coming in.
Hell yeah.
All right, a few super chats here and your feedback. What a trio from Jamie Coe. I guess they need a name. Although John had a good name here. Rewind at Dynamates.
Oh, I like that.
Hey, we do say we're your Dynamates on Wednesday nights.
Well, there you go. It's well, we'll trademark that and steal it. we continue on here with EVP of Talent Relations and Head of Creative Control. Great show. Can't wait for Fight Forever. Well, there you have it. Thank you very much for the super chat. I think a lot of people are intrigued by this video game. I look forward to Twitter after the release of the game and everyone's reactions. That's what I'm going to be looking forward to. Look at this guy. Big fan of the BDE. Love all of your work. Well, thank you, John Cena. Very, very kind of you.
Wow,
to weigh in. Yeah,
John Cena,
a new listener.
John Cena.
I mean, if he said he wasn't a fan of our work, that'd kind of be pretty shitty to say. From Frank. Just a dollar super chat. Thank you very much, Frank.
A dollar, do better, Frank.
Well,
he's got that.
He did.
Yeah,
he's
got- oh, there we go.
I like Davey's shirt. Congrats. Hey, where can I get the shirt, Davey? Where can I get your shirt?
Oh,
ProWrestlingTees.com/upnext.
That too. Oh, Navy, though, online.
Have you heard about the watermelon jellyfish shirt, John?
Sorry, I was reading ahead.
Oh, okay.
I don't want to know. Dickie Bird writes, JR said Matt Hardy looked like a young Bruce Dern. All right.
Is he from Dallas?
Is that's Laura Dern's dad, right?
Yeah, I'm drawing a blank on Bruce Dern. So
sorry.
Hanzi, Paula killing it this week with guest co-host. Shout out to the BDE. Managers don't have to just be mouthpieces. They serve as politickers for their clients. Maybe referring to Stokely Hathaway with Ethan Page. So there you have it. And that will round out the super chat. So thanks to everybody that sent one in. And are you guys cool to stick around for a few pieces of feedback?
Yeah, sure.
Okay. You do have a question in here. Noah from Vaughn writes, love the show tonight. I thought it was paced really well and the action was super entertaining. Really excited to see the Bucks and Hangman reunite tonight. I wonder how Dark Order feels about that. Do you think they hold off on Starks, Hobbs, and Jungle Boy Christian for the pay-per-view? There's still 4 episodes of Dynamite until the pay-per-view, so it is still quite a ways away. Yeah, we talked about these two matches. I think both of us seem that these are matches for the pay-per-view unless they have a reason not to.
Yeah, I think they've got plenty of stuff they can fill TV with in the next 4 weeks.
Christian needs to try to get him arrested for real now. Like Christian needs to like wear a neck brace or something and be like, look, you attempted murder.
I want Jungle Boy's mom to turn heel and join Christian.
No, Jungle Boy's mom's got to slap Christian at one point, okay, though, for sure.
All right. Next one here is Jake from the Windy City. Can't resist leaving some feedback when I found out the BDE boys are doing their own invasion angle. I'd say this was overall a solid Dynamite, and my favorite segment was Cole, O'Reilly, and Fish turning on the Bucks. I appreciate Cole adding on there that he did not forget when Bullet Club turned on him at War of the Worlds several years back. There weren't any downright bad segments, and they did a better job of allowing things a bit of oxygen. It'll be interesting to see what AEW can produce once the roster gets back to full strength and they can put together some anticipated matches. Any chance either of you, Braden or Davey, jump onto the F1 bandwagon?
I watch real sports, wrestling.
Yeah, I don't think I haven't had the time to watch things I like watching recently. Still need to catch up on Better Call Saul and Stranger Things. Look, so it's a no from me.
Do either of you watch Only Murders in the Building?
I'm not on season 2 yet, but Steve Martin bounced back again.
Season 2 is pretty good.
Yeah, my girlfriend made me watch that show, and like the first 5 minutes, I was like, okay, I'm actually in. Steve Martin, Martin Short, I mean, how can you go wrong? And Selena Gomez is fantastic. They make a podcast.
Selena Gomez.
There, I just sold you on it, dude. Exactly. Yeah, I actually love that show, and they talk about podcasting and stuff a lot on it.
Last one here is from Muggin. Watching Being the Elite paid off as the Undisputed Elite turned on the Bucks and it nudged them and Hangman Page closer together. The women's tag was strong, and one has to wonder if it had Madison Rayne's fingerprints, and in a nice change of pace, it wasn't in the 9:30 death slot. I think like it's like Madison Rayne's coming in as a coach. I don't think she's like rebooking the formats and the shows, but we will see. Maybe it's a transformative addition. Taz announcing Team Taz's end was very good, as he didn't condone Hobbs's actions. Jericho and Yuta was solid, and Yuta looked strong in defeat. Does anyone here think Eddie Kingston will have a hand in Jericho losing next week?
There you go.
He gets involved. That's, I guess, possible.
Yeah. For sure. Set up the match at Grand Slam.
All right.
Yeah.
Okay. And the last one from Dickie Bird. Read the super chat with marshmallows in your mouth. Well, there you go. That's the sign that the show is over, and that's why we closed down the super chats.
Well, you didn't hear what we did, John. We did a musical marshmallow mayhem match at Up Next Summer Mania, where we had Brandon from New Jersey with Chubby Bunny, lots of marshmallows in his mouth, trying to sing wrestling themes. And, well, he wasn't very successful.
Oh, this sounds entertaining. Yeah. How did Brandon do?
Well, he almost died on a live stream. So if you want to see the replay, youtube.com/upnext.
I mean, of all people to give that task to. I mean, Brandon from New Jersey. I mean, you're tempting fate right there.
It was like we were hitting him with a car.
Well, you need more of that in wrestling in everyday life if you're Braden Harrington.
For sure.
But there you go. That is going to wrap up the show. Gentlemen, thank you very much for hopping on. How was this for you guys as riding shotgun here with me? Is it a little weird?
This is lovely.
Give me feedback.
We don't have to make a match graphic. We're not writing a description. This is great.
Yeah,
we do this every week.
We can make karaoke early.
Yeah.
We're going to be fine, John.
No, this has been fun. I really enjoyed chatting with you, John, because we haven't really done one of these, especially I know way back kind of I filled in for a Roar or you.
I've done individual shows with you, but not we did the best match ever together. But I don't know if we've done any other.
Dan Hansen.
A couple of years ago now.
It was a while ago.
Yeah, I really enjoyed this.
John, you put up the post signal in the sky, and the BDE will answer anytime, especially to chat about Dynamite. I mean, we usually take this night. We're
doing it anyway.
Yeah, we do it anyways. And I mean, hey, Waiting's busy having babies. We're definitely here to help anytime you want. This was a ton of fun, and you are the no one forget that John Pollock is the goat of this shit, and we are just honored to be here with you, good sir. We love you.
Well, whether I need people to jump on board, or whether I'm out on my bike and am near your place.
Oh, John, I got a new bike.
You are my first text. You got a new bike?
Yeah, let's go on a ride. Let's go.
We could. I ride my bike all the time down there. So.
All right. Meet you at Kensington Market.
I've got to say, let me just rant a little bit about like the Queens Quay area on the weekend. dude, there are too many people in there. Like, you literally, dude, you're like Jungle Boy trying to navigate around people if you're on a bike situation, because they just, they don't respect the bike lanes. It's just a flood of people that I was also like, it was a Jays doubleheader day and they were like in between games. So it was just a mess out there. But my God, it is crazy down there.
You learn how to walk and part the Red Sea, I found, because it takes me about 10 minutes to walk to my work and I'm not checking if the Jays are playing or whatever. And sometimes I've left for work and it's as everyone's going in or everyone's coming out. And that's a 10-minute journey suddenly becomes like 15 because you're wading through people and you just got to swing those arms, walk fast, and people part. It's
I'll tell you right now,
that skill.
A rant right now. It doesn't matter Toronto, any city. Don't ride your bicycle on the sidewalk.
Oh, 100%.
Especially you Uber Eats people. Mm. I love you, bless you, but don't ride it on the sidewalk. And you electric scooter fuckers.
Don't even start. The electric scooter people who they've never seen a street before that they've ever made contact with. It's like the sidewalk is mine. It's like, dude, you should not be anywhere near the sidewalk.
What are you doing?
I somewhat purposely tipped over a cyclist the other day. they ran into me. I was on the sidewalk.
Did you keep walking?
And they like bumped into me and I kind of turned and went like, whoa, what are you doing? But kind of in doing so, he stumbled and fell back and was like a turtle on his back. I'm like, bike lane.
Yeah, next time you
there's lots of bike lanes in Toronto. Come on.
You see a cyclist on the sidewalk, hit him with your car. All right. Not enough of that.
Okay, these two are going to prison. I'm going to bed.
We're going out.
Yeah, I got to write up a description and do a graphic. So that's my night for you, folks. Very different lives that we live.
I can do the graphic for you.
No. Your presence was my present tonight. Thank you, guys.
All right.
Go check out all of their fine work. Patreon.com/upnext. And they are always dropping shows almost on a daily basis. So check out all of their work at Upnext Podcast. Where else can they go?
Yeah, I mean, at Upnext Podcast on Twitter and our Facebook page, but there's a Facebook group and we'll let you in. We all share funny memes and all the updates on the shows. Upnext group on Facebook. And we're actually in the, we won't spoil anything, but patrons, you already know, but we got some changes coming to the BD in the near future. So definitely be prepared for that. And again, any Toronto people, look forward to any updates on maybe some hangouts and some things going on when AEW does make it to Toronto. But yeah, we podcast a lot. We do Best Match Ever where we pick, we've done recently Best Match Ever, Razor Ramon, X-Pac, Shawn Michaels, his first run. We're doing a Rey Mysterio. We do retro NXT reviews. We do a lot of shows, guys. Yeah.
YouTube.com/upnext, twitch.tv/upnextpodcast, and patreon.com/upnext.
We love doing this, John. We can't wait to do it again.
All right. That's going to wrap everything up. Thank you to everybody for tuning in to Rewind to Dynamite. I'm back on Friday. Double header day on Friday, Bruce Lord, and then Rewind to SmackDown with Kate from Montreal. So that will wrap things up. Thank you to all of you for tuning in.
Bless.